If the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? This is Foundations, the radio ministry of Oak Hill Presbyterian Church, Sonora, California. We welcome you to our Sunday morning worship services under the leadership of Pastor David Bush. Stay tuned following today's program for more information about Oak Hill Presbyterian Church. Here now is today's message from Pastor Bush.
Okay, if you have your Bibles, I'd ask you to turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, 1 through 11. I'm going to consider our sermon title is The God of All Comfort. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, starting in verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the church of God which is at Corinth, with all the saints who are throughout Achaia. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For just as the sufferings of Christ are ours in abundance, so also our comfort is abundant through Christ. But if we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. Or if we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which is effective in the patient enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. And our hope for you is firmly grounded, knowing that as you are sharers of our sufferings, so also you are sharers of our comfort. For we do not want you to be unaware, brethren, of our affliction, which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened excessively, beyond our strength, so that we despaired even of life. Indeed, we had the sentence of death within ourselves, so that we would not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. He delivered us from so great a peril of death and will deliver us, he on whom we have set our hope, and he will yet deliver us. You also joining in helping us through your prayers so that thanks may be given by many persons on our behalf for the favor bestowed on us through the prayers of many. Well, may God abundantly bless these words to our edification today as I seek to try to apply, more importantly, these words than exegete them fully. I've decided to take a break from our Deuteronomy series, our sermons, to address you with a sermon that I hope will add some perspective as we try to process the news that the Bush family received this week. And so if you'll indulge me, those of you who are already in the congregation and know much of this information, for those who may be listening by way of our radio ministry or who may hear this message via the internet, the information may not be something that they're in the know. So if you'd indulge me a moment to elaborate. The Bush family had the joy of giving birth to a little boy named Valor. Valor was born full term, but 4 pounds, 14 ounces, very much underweight. He was metaflighted out to UC Davis immediately and has spent the last 2 weeks in the NICU there. During the 2 weeks that Fowler was there at Davis, a number of tests were performed and a number of challenges that we saw immediately. There were some physical defects, some webbed fingers on both hands and two toes on one of his feet. He had ears that were fused to his head and malformed. Through the tests, we learned a number of other physical abnormalities, one being the potential for mental retardation. Even though the brain has is proportionately good, there is a potential for mental retardation. He has respiratory struggles. The lungs are not fully developed, and so Valor struggles to get breath, breathing very heavily from his chest and not what would be normal from the abdomen. There are three defects in his heart, a hole between the wall that separates the atriums, which is not uncommon. The hole is small, but yet and it is normal in the condition that Valor was finally diagnosed with. However, there were other abnormalities, a VSD, which is a ventricular septal defect, which is a hole between the ventricles. That was some concern. Because, of course, the ventricles gets the oxygen from the lungs, and so the if the hole is too large, then it's very difficult for the body to get full oxygen. He also has a malformed heart valve that may hinder circulation, an over a disproportionate valve. One of the valves is very large. We just got news of a hearing test that was performed right before his release, and where the numbers were to be about 150s to indicate good hearing. At all of the various sound frequencies, Valor was in the single digits with a couple of digits that were around 10, 12, 15 area. So looks like he may be either nearly deaf or fully deaf. And lastly, he has a stage 5 bilateral reflux in the ureters. What that means is when Valor urinates, the urine backs up into the kidneys, which is bad, as that will give him a much more likelihood of kidney infections and so forth, bladder infections. So we rejoice that God has given us this opportunity and this dear child. We thank God that yesterday Valor finally made it home to Sonora. And so, by God's grace, you'll be able to see him today. Valor, incidentally, has a feeding tube, and he has to be fed every 3 hours. And so it takes about a half an hour to feed and a few minutes of preparation and cleanup after each feeding, and so that's roughly about a 45-minute to an hour process, and so you can imagine sleep for Jennifer has been very limited, and so adjusting schedule is going to be a bit of a challenge. The last 3 weeks for the Bush family has been, in the words of the Grateful Dead song, which may be sort of sacrilegious to quote a Grateful Dead song in an occasion like this, but I think of those words of that word, the song Truckin', what a long, strange trip it's been for the Bush family. But as we have wrestled through the long hours at the hospital and the driving back and forth and the teams of specialists and the poking and prodding and the tests and the procedures, the questions, the prayers, the emails, the text messages, all of the wonderful phone calls and the pain of all of that and the laughter on those rare occasions where we've had laughter, there has been a comfort, a glorious comfort that God has given to us. This has been a long, strange trip. God does not tell us that the Christian life is going to be smooth and easy and nothing but a blessing. God has promised that we'll have persecutions in this world, that we'll have trials and afflictions and difficulties. Christ commanded us to deny ourselves, to pick up our cross, and to follow Him. And one only needs to do a brief review before you're immediately confronted with the fact that Christ did not have a very easy life in his earthly ministry. But one of the things that we are promised in Scripture is that God will not only deliver us from our trials, but that he will be present, that he will never leave us, nor will he ever forsake us in our trials. But there's another aspect to God that I want to encourage you all with, and that is that God promises a comfort that this world does not understand, a comfort that this world doesn't have access to, but a comfort nevertheless. And it's that comfort that I want to share with you today. And I don't want for a moment for you to think that this sermon should be boiled down to just simply whistling in the dark. Because nothing could be further from the truth. I have one point that I want to unfold for you today with several subpoints. So it will basically be giving you a list of why we may have comfort in our afflictions. That's the one point I want. I didn't even do an outline. You can just take down the points as we go. We can have comfort in our afflictions because God comforts us in our afflictions even when that means death. We are a people who have a resurrection hope. Notice verse 8, for we do not want you to be unaware, brethren, of our affliction which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened excessively beyond our strength so that we despaired even of life. Indeed, we had the sentence of death within ourselves so that we would not trust in ourselves, but note this, but in the God who raises the dead. Isn't that encouraging? God raises the dead. I don't know if you've ever noticed this theology of Paul's, that he's trusting in a God who is able to raise the dead. We think of the father of the faith, Abraham, who was faced with a trial. After years, he finally gave birth to a son. Wanted a son, finally is given a son of promise, and God says, here's your trial, Abraham. Go and sacrifice him up on the mountains of Moriah. And out of obedience, Abraham does that. And we read in Hebrews 11, verse 17, in that hall of faith, where the author to Hebrews sort of gives us this microscope into what was going on in the psyche of Adam, of Abraham. Where in Hebrews 11, 17, we read this. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promises was offering up his only begotten son. It was said, it was he to whom it was said, in Isaac your descendants shall be called. He considered that God is able to raise people even from the dead, from which he also received him back as a type, or literally as a parable. That word type, he received him back as a type, and you just can't escape the picture of Isaac being sacrificed there on the mountains of Moriah, which is the Temple Mount, receiving him back as a type, a picture of Christ. And so what was God's purpose there? Way beyond what Abraham probably fully could grasp, but at least enough to see Jesus' day and rejoice in it. But a man who believed God could raise this child of mine up if I have to go through this. He was a man who trusted in the resurrection hope that we have far more explained in the New Testament. Paul's faith, Abraham's faith, is the same faith that we have, that we trust a God who can raise us even from the dead. Death can't separate us from this God, and that's a comfort. Let's see, point six, or F, I've got these alphabetical order, so I'm on F and counting them one through six. Maybe I'll just go to the alphabet because I'll probably get out of sync with the numbers here. So point F would be, because our afflictions pale in comparison to the joy of heaven. You remember that other verse from Romans 8, Romans 8, 18, for I consider the present sufferings of this present time, I consider the sufferings of this present time are not to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed in us. You ever thought of the fact that no matter how bad things get in life, no matter how difficult they get, they could at best last, what, maybe 100 years or so? What is that in comparison to eternity? Oh, if Robin Williams understood that. It's just tragic when you think about it. How bad can it really be if all we had to do was endure whatever trial it was for 100 years in comparison to eternity? And more importantly, for the Christian, an eternity of heaven where there will be no more pain, no more suffering, no more sickness, no more death, no more wars, no more famines, no more quarrels and arguments and whatever it is, that someday this will all be over. This is just temporary. And so the present sufferings are not to be compared to what we have that waits for us. And I take great comfort in that. And I can take comfort in this, point G. I can take comfort that valor has the covenant promises of God. That God has promised to be a God to Abraham and to all of his children. We see that promise made in Genesis 7 and 17. And as we see the New Testament that unpacks that, we see how Peter in Acts 2 and verse 39 applies that to the faithful. And we know that that's not just God is going to be a God to our children when they grow up to be adults and make a public profession of faith on their own and have the wisdom to do that. But the sign of the covenant was given to Abraham when his child was 8 days old. They were to receive a sign of that promise. The circumcision that was the mark that they were children that belonged to the covenant. And so I take great comfort that Valor has those covenant promises, that God is Valor's God, and that nothing can separate Valor from the love of that God. And so I take great comfort in those covenant promises that Valor has that are his. Point H is that I take comfort that while Valor may have a number of physical defects, and he has plenty, and whether you were to take just one of those physical defects, let's say his deafness, if he were deaf his whole life, whether you take that one physical defect or whether you take the whole lot of Valor's defects, Valor's defects are far less severe than the non-physical defects that resides in every human being. And that defect is called sin. A sin nature. That though you can't see it, every person is born into this world at odds with God, a sinner who needs to be saved by grace. And that sin nature is far more damaging, far more crucial than the physical defects of my son. And so long as Valor has the covenant promise of God, and as far as we have the forgiveness of God, we recognize what a blessing that is. But the defects that Valor have are far less severe than a sin nature. And this is why it's so essential that sinners come to the God of all comfort, that they might have comfort that their sins have indeed been forgiven. Point I would be this. I take comfort in seeing how this chromosomal test, which I guess I did forget to say the technical issue, Valor has been diagnosed with trisomy 18. Most of you are familiar with Down syndrome, which is trisomy 21. It's when the pair of chromosomes doesn't fully separate as there's cell division. It's called non-disjunction. So you get two chromosomes in the gamete of either the male or the female, and when the other gamete comes together, you end up having three chromosomes rather than two. And in this case, it happens at the 18th gene for Valor. In Josiah's case, it happened on the 21st gene. And so that trisomy 18 has a very low survivability rate. We're talking that most die within the first couple of weeks of their life. The doctors are saying less than 1% make it to their fifth birthday. And so the genetic defect here is big. But you see, when I think about that, I think about the myth of evolution. That somehow thinks that blind chance tinkering with genetic information is going to cause improvements. Most trisomy 18 patients never come to full-term pregnancies. Most die in the womb. Now, let's say one of the horrific aspects of that statistic may, in fact, be that those that are discovering trisomy 18 in vitro, those babies never come to full term, not because the baby dies, but because the parents choose to kill that child rather than to bring that child to full term. And my guess is well over 80% elect an abortion over bringing that child into the world. And I can say this with all frankness and confidence. They do that because they don't know the God of all comfort. And that probably lends to some of the concern over the viability of a trisomy 18 patient. But I take comfort in Little Valor that when you manipulate genetics, when genetics are altered even minutely, it is degenerative, it is harmful to life, it inhibits life, it does not add complexity or evolutionary advance. Evolution is a myth, and Valor is proof positive that there is a God in heaven and that he is fearfully and wonderfully made, and that genetics is a fine-tuned art and design of our Heavenly Father. And I take great comfort in that. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your grace. We thank you for the comfort that you give to us in our trials. And Lord, in this we ask that you would receive all glory, all power, all praise. And Lord, we pray that where we may not even see the effects of Valor's life on others, we trust that this will all be made known in heaven. And until such a time, Lord, we surrender ourselves, our energies, our hopes, our thoughts, our hearts, into the hands of a loving God who has dispensed this providence in such a way that we are comforted because we know you. We thank you, and we ask that you would be glorified in all these things. For we pray it in the matchless name of that one who has been raised from the dead, even our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thanks for listening to Foundations, the radio ministry of Oak Hill Presbyterian Church. Our church is located at the corner of Mono Way, Highway 108, and Peaceful Valley Road in East Sonora, California. The church with the crosses. Our weekly worship service begins at 9:45 a.m. We would be delighted to have you join us as we worship Almighty God, explore His Word, and fellowship in Christian love. If you would like a copy of today's message or more information about Oak Hill, please visit our website at oakhillopc.org.